you have to assume that in most disasters, your family isn't going to be together. They're going to be off doing their own thing, you know, shopping, en route, at work, the babysitter, whatever. And so where do you reunite when a disaster occurs and you can't go back home?
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name is Rick Nusky, and I'm on the line with Kathleen Kent. How are you, Kathleen?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm very well. I often say I have 2 feet and a heartbeat. I can't complain.
All right.
Now, listen, you and I were talking about emergency preparedness both in the workplace as well as at home, but I was reading through your bio earlier and I found it to be fascinating. And before we jump into that story, which I'd love for you to share with the My Future Business audience, I'd love to learn a little bit about yourself, where you're located, and how is it that you came to be doing what you're doing today?
Well, my name is Kathleen Kent, and I'm the owner and founder of Hazard Strategies.
Fantastic.
And I basically wrote the workbooks that are behind me in about 2014, and I have just decided now to publish them and release them because I've worked through all the bugs and whatever. I actually got interested in preparedness in 2006 when an Oprah Winfrey show had, that was back when the bird flu was the big epidemic that was approaching.
Yes.
And I remember the doctor told Oprah that didn't matter how much money she had, if there were no beds, there were no beds, and that she couldn't fly out of the country because they would quarantine the United States and eliminate flights in and out because the rest of the world wouldn't want it. And I watched her face just kind of drop, and I just kind of went, whoa. And she goes, so what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, prepare for at least a month at home to take care of yourself, so that you don't have to go outside your home. And I'm like, oh, damn.
Wow.
A month? I don't even think I could make it 3 days at that time. I was, you know, like going to the store on the way home to cook.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty meager existence back then. So I decided I'd start getting prepared.
Yeah.
Well, I was living from paycheck to paycheck. And I mean, paycheck to paycheck, and I was in a deficit manner. And so what I did was it took me about 4 or 5 months to save up $400. And so I went down to Costco, which is really expensive when you buy in bulk.
Yes.
And so I got a bunch of crackers and several flats of Coke and I think one flat of water and some jerky and some roast beef and a jar of candy. And I went home and I put it on my kitchen counter and I sat there and I looked at it and I thought, I wonder if I like that candy. So I opened it up and broke the seal and I ate all of it. And then I looked at the roast beef that was canned roast beef and I thought, oh God, that's got to be horrible. I may as well figure it out now. And so I opened it up and it was really good. So I opened up all the cans of it. I drank all the pop, of course, because that was my favorite beverage at that time. And then I went on and stopped. Well, there was $400 wasted.
Yes.
And I almost cried. So I was kind of a disaster in my preparedness. Then the next time I really tried, I got some money together and so I got a little better and I put it in a box and I put it out in the garage so I couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the mice and the bugs got to it. And then one winter I tried, I put my water out in the garage and my pop out in the garage in case my house would collapse and I'd have it out in the garage. Well, it froze.
Oh.
So I have made one disastrous mistake after another. So I ended up, and then I had all these Excel worksheets. I mean, piles of them. I loaded off the internet. And so I'd cross off this because that was already on that list. And then I made my own Excel worksheet, and then I couldn't remember what I named it. And one time the computer crashed, and that was back before you're supposed to back it up. Well, you were supposed to back it up then, but that was back before I backed it up. So it's been horrible. So yeah. Then in 2010, I wrote this really thick book. It was like 270 pages on preparedness. And it had really cutesy cartoons. And it was sad. And in 2014, I ended up rewriting and coming up with these workbooks. And these workbooks are the plan I use. It's my plan given to others. And it's really important to get prepared nowadays because, well, just weather events are enough to be crazy around, in at least in the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's flash floods, there's forest fires, we have hurricanes down in the south.
Yep.
Tremendous ice storms and winters. Can you believe it? This winter, I had 15 inches of snow, and I live in Seattle.
Yes, it's crazy, isn't it? It seems to me that the environment globally is shifting. And how is that affecting people's ability to plan? And how much lead time should they give themselves?
For what?
To plan and be prepared for their family, their pets, and everything they need to take care of in the event that an emergency should arise.
Well, I suggest doing it gradually. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is you can get some 3-day kits for your cars.
Yeah.
So if you're out traveling somewhere and you get stuck, you have a survival kit with you.
Yeah.
So you can do that. But then what I suggest is grab a box in your house and just go shopping in your house. Put a roll of toilet paper in there, a roll of paper towels. Maybe you got some paper plates somewhere and some plastic silverware that came from a fast food place, mm-hmm. whatever, a bar of soap. Just go around and start your emergency stockpile that way. So you're shopping from what you already have because you buy your toilet paper more than just one roll at a time.
Yeah.
So just start out that way. Then think about what would you need for one whole week. Okay, so one roll of toilet paper may not last your whole household for a week. So maybe you need two rolls. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is in your cupboard that a canned good that you can eat without heating it or refrigerating it? When you buy items, make sure they're meal size, whatever your family is. So if you have 5 people in your family,
yep.
you'll have a giant can of tuna fish because that will accommodate one meal. For me, I'm a one person with a cat. So we just get the tiniest cans of tuna fish we can.
Right.
Then there's no refrigeration or waste.
And that's just the thing, is it's about the longevity of the items that, I guess the longevity and the relevance of the items, isn't it? You don't want to have too much hanging around.
Right. And you don't want food that you don't like to eat.
Of course. Okay. Not just dry, salty crackers.
Dry, salty crackers. I don't know what these rations are that are out on the internet. Mm-hmm. I have tried one of them. It was very good. But it was a very big pack for a family, and I'm just one person.
Yep.
And also on those rations, I've heard stories of like firemen really like them, and so they eat a lot of them. But then they start gaining weight because they are designed to be high energy.
Yes.
And so if you sit around, then guess what?
Guess what? Now, I wonder, I always look at the process behind creating a booklet or a book. How did you find the process of rewriting it? Was that quite difficult?
Actually, no, because I knew what I had didn't work.
Right.
And what I wanted, let me just see if I can find a page here. Open up a page. What I wanted was I wanted to be able to, oh, here we go. I don't know if you can see this, but it has a list of items over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has four columns across here.
I can see that.
And within each column, there's a have column and a need column.
Yep.
So you can fill that. You go down and you make inventory of what you have. And then you add, then you go down and you determine what you need.
Yep. Yep.
Sense?
Yeah, certainly does.
Then it has three additional columns. So you make your list once. It has three additional columns. Those are for three additional daylight savings time reviews.
Oh. So
the two-year workbook.
Yep.
It keeps it current. It keeps it seasonal because at daylight savings time, there's a part for clothing. So you want to swap out your summer clothing in October at daylight savings time. And then you want to rotate in your winter clothing.
Yes, yes, of course. And do you find that with the seasonal nature of these things, is audit something that you do every 3 months? How often does somebody need to review this?
Just every daylight savings time, twice a year.
Twice a year, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and that way it keeps it current. If you have a new boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
now he gets added to the book.
Yep.
You know, if you have a new child and you're in the family book,
mm-hmm.
there's this book here has two people in it, and the other book, the coral color, is family for up to six people.
Right.
So for instance, and the reason why it's distinguished by numbers is because, for instance, in medical history, each person has their own medical history page, and then they have their own medical history supply page in case they have equipment that they need or you know, maybe a breathing apparatus or something like that.
Yes, it's very complex, isn't it? It's not just one level. There's many levels to this.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, it isn't on this is a 70-page workbook
mm-hmm.
for the two person. It isn't until page 40, I believe, that we actually talk about stockpiling, because a good portion of it is planning up front. If you have an emergency evacuation, where are you going to go?
Yes.
To reunite. You know, you have to assume that in most disasters, your family isn't going to be together. They're going to be off doing their own thing. You know, shopping, en route, at work, the babysitter,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And so where do you reunite when a disaster occurs and you can't go back home?
Yeah.
What is your out of area phone number? And I say out of area, out of that possibility of being involved in that disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that out of area phone number that everybody calls or texts and leaves their messages so they can save the battery juice on their phones, which they probably will not be able to charge.
Yes.
Unless they have a portable charger that's solar powered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and this brings me to a critical point. It's one thing to have this plan, but it's another thing to train those that you love in this plan. So how do you teach your child? Do you just bring them into the conversation? And how do you go about this?
Well, actually, before every chart, there is these doggone headphones. I'm just going to take these out. I don't think I need these.
No.
I'm just going to take those out. Okay. These...
I have the same problem with mine, by the way.
Oh, okay, great. Just before the chart, there's always an educational page.
Oh, right, yep.
You can have a discussion. For instance, on the pet page, because there's a whole section about pets. Those are our other loved ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it says you may have to leave a pet behind, so it's best to have a discussion in advance now while you're doing the planning that you may have to leave a pet behind and make the child understand that.
Yes.
You know, get them familiar with that. You know, children and elderly people will be confused and frightened often. as we will too. So it's up to us to remain calm. And if we already have a plan in place, everybody gets involved in this. The way it's designed is everybody has their own section. Mm-hmm. Even the children will have their own section of where they put their friends and their friends' phone numbers. Right. So it's all designed to incorporate the whole family. Besides which, if everybody is off doing their own thing and a disaster strikes, the person who is at home is the one who's going to have to evacuate the house. Yes. Wouldn't it be great to have a plan in place already to do that evacuation?
Of course. Now, do you let's suppose that the family was in the general vicinity. You know, they might have been down the street. They've got their mobile. The rest of the family's inside the house. An emergency's arisen. Do you propose that we run drills, test evacuations, and things like that?
I do. I really do. For instance, if your out of area location is for, I live here in Western Washington, but if it's in Eastern Washington, mm-hmm. then I want to identify where it is. Have I driven there before? Do I know how to get there? Does everybody else in my family know how to get there? Not just a yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In crisis, nothing's going to look the same. How to get out of town isn't going to necessarily be the most direct route.
Yeah.
And so they have to know how to get there. So I suggest you when you go over to that area, you say, okay, this is where we meet up. This is where our phone number is. Does everybody have it programmed into their phone as our emergency phone number?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
Red Cross has a safe and well website where people can leave messages for other people to let them know they're okay.
Oh, that's a good service.
Yeah, that's out there too.
That's fantastic. I wonder, given the ever evolving state of affairs with systems and technology, what sort of level of reliance should we place on the likes of mobile phones and things like that in a crisis?
Well, in a crisis, first off, the cell lines will be overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
if they're up at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Second off, depending upon how many days you go, your cell phone may be without juice. And so part of your preparedness is, do you have a solar powered charger that at least you can put out in the sun someday and then that evening get on the phone if you still have cell service?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. There's so many questions to be answered here. I have a multitude that I could ask you. I'm wondering, when I go through that book, is it a simple sort of start at page one, work through to the final page? How do you use the booklet?
Yep. Well, the booklet is designed so it has tabs across the top.
Right.
So frequently asked questions, your reconnecting chapter, your preparedness away from home, evacuations, vehicle preparedness and maintenance. It's really important to keep your vehicle maintained if you expect to use it to evacuate with.
Yeah, especially at a crisis point, you'd want to be out of there very quickly, wouldn't you?
Right. And another thing you should do is get in a hat, or you could do, I hate to say should.
Yes, yes.
Is you can get in the habit of keeping your gas gauge closer to full than empty. So what I do is when my gas gauge gets to half full, then I fill it up.
Yes.
Because in disasters or when there's no power outage, gas stations can't pump gas.
No.
So you are competing with everybody else hunting for gas or trying to get out of town to get to a gas station. But if you have a whole tank of gas or never go below half,
mm-hmm.
you've got a half a tank of gas at least.
Yeah, so take us through some more of this wonderful workbook. I'd love to know more.
Okay, so we keep on going. We talk about pets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on pet preparedness, they need to be daylight savings time checked too. Does their collar still fit? was it a puppy? And now 6 months later, it's bigger. And so your collar that's in the emergency preparedness doesn't fit it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Does your cat that was a kitten still fit in the carry cage? How are you going to transport your animal? Can they just ride in the car like a dog, happy to go? Or are they a cat that hates being in the car? Do you have a carrier cage for them? What if your favorite pet is parakeets? Are you going to take your parakeets with you?
Mm-hmm.
And what supplies do those animals need? Because they're going to be on the road with you. They're still going to need food and water. So what are their needs there? Also, for dogs and cats, if you're taking them to another area, it's possible they're going to get fleas or ticks or something like that. So you should have a flea or a tick treatment in your emergency supply.
Yes. So many things. It's just...
So the next thing is stockpile. And that's where we get into, we talk about meals. Not food, but meals. You think about what can I am going to have to provide for myself for several weeks. What meals do I have each day? So I can eat the same thing over and over and over again. Hopefully people who need to use their stockpile are okay with that too, because that's the very best thing to do.
Right.
So crackers with tuna fish on top, mm-hmm, can be a small meal. For a more substantial meal, I don't know what you like. I eat a lot of junk.
Me too.
So I have candy and cookies in my stockpile, and I have cookies that I can eat without milk, because like Oreos, I can't have those in my stockpile because I need a glass of milk with those.
Right.
So all my stockpile is full of food I dearly love.
Yes.
And I can eat out of it. Another reason why you have a stockpile, and I'm suggesting go up to 5 weeks, that covers an interruption of income. Most of us live paycheck to paycheck. And so if I go without a paycheck for a whole month,
mm-hmm,
I can use my stockpile to sustain me and preserve that cash for other things that I need to cover.
Yeah, that's some sage advice. Do you recommend that once you've done your audit and you realize you need certain things, if you're on a limited income, do you just buy a small item once a week? How do you grow your stockpile?
Well, what I did was I went through and I figured out what I had first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through what I really wanted, what I needed.
Yep.
Now, I couldn't afford to go out and just use this as a shopping list the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I made every time I'd go to the store, I'd allocate $2 or $3 to my stock to purchase something in my stockpile. If I didn't have something that $2 or $3 wouldn't work for, mm-hmm, it went in a can.
Right.
And I just kind of built a little pot.
Yeah.
And then I could go in, and because I had a list, I wasn't wasteful with my purchases.
Yes, that's a very smart way to go about it. Now I know that people are going to want to reach out to you when they go to your website. What can they expect to find, and where can they find you?
You can find me at hazardstrategies.com. Hazard Strategies.
Yep.
And you go to the personal preparedness tab, and you scroll down to the bottom, and you can purchase it there, or you can research. There's two pages about the workbook itself. The first one asks you some questions, and hopefully you aren't prepared, and so you will need a workbook. And then if you want more information, you click on the about the workbook, and it has a detailed list of the contents, not the table of contents, but the subject headings.
Right. Yes. Fantastic. So now when... when somebody first gets their hands on the book, is it going to be in electronic form, or do you send them out a copy? How do you get the document?
Oh, I send out a bound copy, because if it's electronic form,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to print it to have it somewhere on a shelf, you know, because when power is out, you can't get to it. If the internet's down, you can't get to it. So it's a hard copy. It's bound, and everybody in the family goes through and looks at it and reads it. You put it somewhere in your house where everybody knows. And then when it comes time for an emergency, you grab this, and instead of panicking and being in frantic and in chaos,
yep.
you do what your muscle memory already knows to do, but you need help remembering.
Well, there you go, everyone who was on the show today. Don't leave it till the last moment. There's some sage advice in there. There's some really good tools in this workbook. And I definitely suggest that you reach out to Kathleen at Hazard Strategies. Kathleen, thank you so very much for sharing what you know on the My Future Business Show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.